Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
Before we get into it, I just want to also take a moment. I know that Mother's Day can also be a painful time for some who wish they were moms, want to be moms, and just have not been able to have a child yet. And so also for those maybe who lost their moms. And so I want to just take a moment, and would you just join me in prayer for those for whom Mother's Day is a painful day? And let's pray. Father, we come to you, and Lord, we do rejoice with the moms and the celebration of life. God, but at the same time, we recognize that there are those who, for whom this day brings pain. Those who desire to be a mom and have been unable. Those who've lost their children and children who've lost their mothers. And today, Lord God, we just ask for your Holy Spirit to come alongside them, to minister peace and healing and comfort in the midst of their pain. We thank you also, Lord God, that you are a mother to the motherless, and that you would come alongside, Lord God, those. And I thank you, Lord God. We also thank you for those who maybe are not natural moms, but care for others and provide that role of mothering in the lives of others. And we pray that today, Lord God, they would also just feel your grace upon their lives and feel honored. So we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, happy Mother's Day. Today we do have a special Mother's Day sermon, and I'm excited to talk about it and share about it. And we're staying within our Unstoppable series, where we're talking about the Book of Acts and how the mission of God to go into all the world and make disciples, to make followers of Jesus. This is God's heart, is to bring, in God's heart, every human being is a son or daughter. And there are those who are sons and daughters who have found home, found that relationship again with their Heavenly Father. And there are those who, the Bible says, they're lost. They're created to be God's sons and daughters, but they have not yet been reconnected. And so we're praying for those, and that's the mission that we have, to find those who've not yet come into that relationship with God. And so this series that we're on is in the Book of Acts, in the original church that was first birthed, and how did they fulfill that mission, and what can we learn about that mission ourselves, so that we too can enter into that work of bringing people into a relationship with Jesus. And Paul in the Bible says that doing that bringing people into a relationship with Jesus and helping them to follow Jesus, he actually pictures it as motherhood. He says to the church in the city of Thessalonica, he says that I labor, it's like giving birth as I try to bring you to Christ and try to bring you into that relationship with Christ and see Christ, his life formed in you. He said there's pain in it and it's work in it. It's almost like childbirth. I'm not sure how Paul knew about childbirth. Maybe from observing, what his mom told him. But he also said in Galatians, he just said that being a discipling someone or helping them to follow Jesus. He says it this way. He says, I cared for you like a mother caring for her own children. And he said, I not only gave you the God's good news and the word of God, but my very life. Just like moms pour their lives into us. He said that helping you follow Jesus is the same. It's like pouring life into you. And we know that's God's call for all of us. The Bible says that before Jesus left, he called his disciples together and he said, this is the commission. Here's the mission that I'm assigning to you, to us as the church, as followers of Jesus, that we would go and help others become disciples of Christ or followers of Jesus, people who want to grow up to be like Jesus. We were created, the book of Genesis says, to be in the image of God. And what that looks like is what we see Jesus. When Jesus walked the earth, he gave us a picture of what that looks like. And the book of Acts gives us another picture of what that looks like. And so today, we're going to be carrying on in our series on the book of Acts, Unstoppable. Because the church is unstoppable. It just continues to advance, and it continues to advance God's purposes and God's mission. But today we're going to be looking at the very first mother in the book of Acts, mentioned in the book of Acts. And it's been fun this last month or so, just kind of reading different stories of all the different women in the book of Acts, and especially the moms. And there's some pretty amazing women there. And I was tempted just to kind of go through all of them, but we'll just choose one to try to keep it tight today. But there's Mary, the mother of John Mark, who wrote the book of Mark. And how her house became a center for prayer and gathering. Yeah. And so they would be there all day, every day. People were there just praying. And when Peter was imprisoned, I remember after King Herod, after he executed John the Baptist, the Jews were so excited and loved it so much, he said, I got to do this again. And so he arrested Peter, intending to execute him as soon as the Passover was done. But an angel came and took Peter out of prison. And Peter wasn't sure if it was happening like in real time or if it was in a dream. But he came to himself. When he got on the street, he realized, oh, this is not a dream. I'm actually freed from prison. And so he knew in the middle of the night, he knew to go to John Mark's mother's house. Because he knew that's where the Christians would be gathered. That's where they would be praying. And throughout the book of Acts, you just see woman after woman. So many of the places where the Christians gathered were actually the homes of women. And so women provided these places. The church in Philippi, which is the very first church in Europe, where it became actually the center of the advancement of the kingdom of God for many, many years. A church in Philippi that was started with a woman, Lydia, who actually, she like forced Paul in the strong. She's she was an Asian businesswoman, and she sold purple, which was like high class luxury clothing. And so she was a wealthy Asian businesswoman living in Europe, and she became the first convert in Europe. And she came to Paul and said, hey, Paul, you guys need to hold the churches, because they were meeting by river. Because there weren't enough Jews, you had to have 10 Jewish men in order to have a synagogue, which is a place, a room where the Jews could gather and study the word together and do their religious ceremonies. Because there was only one quote-unquote church, was the temple was in Jerusalem. And you weren't allowed to build temples anywhere else. If you wanted to do temple worship, you had to go to Jerusalem. But what they had was these synagogues. And as long as there were 10 men or 10 families in a city, you could start a synagogue, which is a place where the Jews could come and worship God together and read the word together. But there weren't enough Jews in Philippi. And so what they did was they just met by river, because they wanted to be by water so they could do whatever washings that went along with the different religious ceremonies. And so what Paul did was he would normally go and look for a synagogue and begin to preach the gospel. But in Philippi, he went to the river because there's no synagogue. And he began to preach, and the first person who got saved was Lydia. And so praise God, and she was the head of her whole household came to Christ, and became the gathering place. She came to Paul and said, "Hey, Paul, you guys, if you really believe that I'm a follower of Jesus, then you need to let me sponsor you guys. Make my house the church. Come and gather. Let me take care of your ministry team." And she said, all that I've been blessed with in business, I want to invest it into the kingdom. And there were women like this. Jesus was the same. He had all these women who would go with him and provide food, provide shelter. Peter's mom, all these women were heads of households. There was Priscilla, who was always mentioned with Aquila, her husband. Husband and wife working together in ministry. And every time that they're mentioned in the book of Acts, and she's the most mentioned of the women in Acts, and she's always mentioned together with her husband, but most often mentioned before her husband, meaning that she had the lead in some way, whether she was the better teacher or had more leadership gift. She was the one who was mentioned first whenever they were mentioned, Priscilla, and they had a church in their house. And when Paul went to Ephesus, the three of them went together, but Paul just sent them off on their own. And they started and led the church. And they were so steeped in the word. When they met, Paul didn't lead them to the Lord. They were already Christians when Paul met them. And they were already so had so much depth in the word. When Apollos, a really gifted teacher, got up to preach, they listened to him. And then they pulled him aside and said, hey, Kay, let us help you get better at doing this. You're really good. And a lot of people love you, but let us help you. And so there's these women throughout the book of Acts that are heavily involved in advancement of the kingdom. But this is the first woman that's mentioned in the advancement of the kingdom. It's a mother on mission, the first mom on mission in the book of Acts. And so that's our title today, Mother on Mission, because you, all you moms, you're on mission. The first discipleship, the place I was discipled, was at home in my house, primarily by my mom, because my dad was working 7 days a week in my early Christian walk. I got saved when I was 7 years old. And so in those earliest days, it was family devotions. My mom, that's where discipleship happened. Every night we'd gather around in a circle, six kids and my mom. And she would read the Bible, the kids' story Bible, and she would fall asleep halfway through the story. You know, and always make us sing one or two or three songs. In fact, every meal we had to sing a song. We didn't like it. You know, I was like, food's getting cold, Mom. But every night, you know, she started reading and fall asleep. And so that was for me. I remember when I started leading, being the campus minister, kind of like what Terry and Nicole and others do here. And they said, okay, for the college ministry, you got to start discipling guys and build a discipleship, small group discipleship program for the college. And I'm thinking, I never been in a small group discipleship program. I just went to devotions with my mom, and she made me, and I can't just make these guys, you know. So I just buy books. How do you do this, you know? And just do what I read in the book. But that was my discipleship, and mom's so grateful for you pouring into the lives of your kids. But also for all of us, this message is for all of us, because like Paul said, all of us, if we're all called to do the work of evangelism and discipleship, and he said that work is much like the work of motherhood. You gotta pour your life into it. It's not just teaching lessons, it's not just teaching scriptures, it's bringing Jesus into the lives of others by his life in us. And this is the work of a mom, and it's what we all do. So men, pay attention. All right. If you're a woman sitting next to a man, tell him, pay attention. This is for you too. All right. And so we're looking at the first mom on mission. And it's Mary, the mother of Jesus. All right. So that's our mom for today. Mary, the mother of Jesus, in Acts chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. It says, then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, a distance of half a mile. See, am I on this? And when they arrived, they went to the upstairs room of the house where they were staying. And here are the names of those who were present: Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. They all met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. So Mary, the mother of Jesus, is the first mother, the first woman mentioned in the book of Acts. And I love how, we could choose no better woman. She is so loved and so known. So many people named after her, especially in the Philippines and other Hispanic countries. I think every Hispanic woman has Mary in her name somewhere. You know, Luisa Mary, Mary Susan, Mary. You know, it's always Maria. Yes, my wife is Maria. So they always have multiple names. But there's a good reason why they named them after Mary, because of the life that she lived and the example that she is to us. And so today, let's just take a moment and look at that example. What do moms do? Taking it from the life of Mary, what does the life of a mom look like? Number one, moms pray. There's so many books written, so many testimonies of the power of the prayers of a mom. And certainly, so many times in church here, I've shared the stories of my mom and how I was so blessed to have a mom who prayed. And how God answered her prayers in our family, whenever anyone within our family or within our extended family, aunties, uncles, cousins, whenever there was a sickness, whenever there was an emergency, the call was always for my mom to go. and time and again, gathering with families in their living room, gathering with families at hospitals, and calling upon her for prayer, because they knew her prayers were powerful. And she'd seen so many. I always remember my mom, I think I've told this so many times, my mom was doing a lecture. They asked her to come and preach. They were starting a church at the University of Hawaii, and the guys who were starting the church said, "We want you." My mom's like, must be in her 80s, 70s or 80s, and they said, "We'd like you to come and preach at our first service." You know, she's like, "Are you asking an old woman to come and preach on campus?" And they said, "Yeah." And then they asked her, do you have a PowerPoint?" And she's like, "I don't even know what a PowerPoint is." You know? So but as she's praying about preaching and what to share, she says, "God just talked to me and he said, just share my PowerPoints." And she said, "What's your PowerPoint?" And just the times when God moved in power in her life. And so she just started remembering all the times when people were healed and saved and miracles happened. And she was, I remember we were talking on the phone. She says, I'm trying to list all these things. And, you know, I think there were 6 times that I went to the hospital to pray for someone when the doctor was going to pull the plug. And the doctor said, "There's no hope. They're dead. They're brain dead. They're lifeless. We're going to pull the plug." And I think there's 6 times that after they pulled the plug, the person came back to life. Wow. You know, and she's like, "Do you think any of those was God raising them from the dead?" And I'm thinking, "Well, Mom, whatever it is good. I think that counts, you know." I think those families think it counts. And that's why people just call her, you know, and say, "Can you come and pray?" I have a lot to live up to with my mom, but there's something about a mother's prayers, the power of a praying mom. And Mary was a praying mom. And so her first appearance in the book of Acts is joining with the disciples in the place of prayer. Like Mary, the mother of John Mark, whose house was known to be the place of prayer. That any time of the day, you could go and find people praying. And so thank you, moms, for praying for us through the years. The second thing that we have, moms speak up. How many of you, your moms speak up? How many of that bothers you? sometimes it bothers us, but sometimes it really helps us, right? Moms, they just have this role of speaking up and just saying, "Hey, look, here's what's going on." And, you know, giving advice. Sometimes it's welcome and sometimes it's not so welcome. And that was Mary's role. And Jesus, if you remember Jesus' first miracle, in the book of John chapter 2, Jesus and Mary were at a wedding feast. You remember that? And they were running out of wine. Those Jewish wedding feasts last for several days. And so it's coming to the end of the feast and they're running out of wine. And in those days, of course, the whole village would come together for the feast, the whole town. And everybody, you know, famous, but all the important people of town were there. And this couple, their first thing as a married couple is putting on a feast. And now they're running out of wine. And so it's a moment when they're on the brink of shame. And Mary says, "Hey, Jesus, you need to do something," you know? Now, I don't know if she meant for him to do something in terms of miraculous or just because he was the oldest son and had the finances to go buy some wine or somewhere take care. She just knew that Jesus is good. At that time, Jesus hadn't yet started preaching the gospel, right? And so they were still in good relationships, and she tells Jesus, "Hey, you know, they're running out of wine, take care of it, you know, go do something," like moms always do. That I remember growing up, that was often the conversation with me and my brothers, or 5 boys, with my mom. It was always like, "Hey, so-and-so is moving house, go over there, help. So-and-so needs their yard clean, go help. Hey, the church is church cleaning day, go clean up the church." We were always on call. We got some friends going to the airport, you know, go help them. We resented it sometimes, you know? Like, why do we gotta always be the cleanup crew and the childcare crew and the moving crew and the cutting grass crew? We helped build the very first church in Guam. We helped build it every afternoon and all day during the summers. We're out there. It was just an overgrown piece of land, just chopping down all the plants and then, you know, digging holes and making, you know, building. The whole thing was built out of wood. It was just work. And it was growing up. But this is what happened with Jesus as well. And when Mary came to Jesus and said, hey, you know, do something, he says, it's not my time yet. You know, he just kind of, you know, you can see it, 30 years of just saying, okay, mom, enough, 30 years of that, just kind of, it's okay, mama. But in that, somewhere in there, right, he recognized the voice of his father. Because Jesus said, I only do what my father is telling me to do. And somewhere in there, he recognized the voice of his father in the voice of his mom. And he went and did something about it. And so often, God speaks to us through our moms, right? And so Jesus' first miracle, instigated by his mom. And guys, if we listen to our moms more, maybe we'll see more miracles in our lives. But it doesn't always happen that way. There's this verse in Mark chapter 3, verse 20-21. It says, one time Jesus entered a house, and the crowds began to gather again. Soon he and his disciples couldn't even find time to eat. And when his family heard what was happening, they tried to take him away. He's out of his mind, they said. And so they all came, and this is Jesus, his mom, his brothers, they hear about Jesus, and Jesus is going nuts again. He's got a huge crowd of people, and we got to go bail him out. He's not even eating. Let's go take care of him, you know, and get him out of there. Tell him to take a break, take a rest. And so they go and do that, and what does Jesus say? He says, these right here, listen to me. These are my mother and my brothers and my sisters. And these are the ones that are with me. Pretty harsh, right, towards his mom and his brothers. But in the end, right, they all of his brothers, his mom, they all follow him and recognize him as Messiah. And I want to encourage you, moms, to speak up. God has you in that role of helping. But learning to do it in following Jesus, like all of us, it's in the following Jesus and just saying, Holy Spirit, is this something, especially as your kids grow older, you know, just sometimes you just gotta say, okay, is this the time? Is this the worth the fight? All right, moms, speak up. And we need them in the house, in the church. When you see things that need, we need you moms to speak up. And we need those of you, as when we're making disciples and have that spirit of God, the mother heart of God, to also speak up and to speak into lives. That's just how the body of Christ functions together. The next thing, moms suffer and they sacrifice. This is a verse from early in Jesus' life when he was still an infant and they brought him to the temple. Simeon, who was a prophet, blessed them. And he said to Mary, the baby's mother, this child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many to rise. He says, he has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul. And so there's a pain for Mary in raising her child. And in every mother's heart, there's times of pain. And there's moments. And in all of our hearts, if we're playing that role of making disciples like Paul, pouring our lives into people, being involved in the mission, there'll be moments of pain. And yet, Mary stuck with it. And when you go through the story of Mary's life, all the moments of deep pain that she went through with Jesus, you know, being there at his crucifixion, being there at his burial, seeing all that he went through and the ways that the religious rulers rose up against him, seeing him being rejected. By that time, Mary was a follower of Jesus and a believer in him. And so, moms, we just want to say thank you for the suffering and the sacrifice. I love that video that they played. You know, just the amount of work that goes into being a mom. And on the one side, we want to say thank you to the moms. We want to encourage all of us to say thanks to our moms today. Take a moment, make a call, send a photo, and just say thank you, mom. Happy Mother's Day for the suffering and the sacrifice that they've made. And just the gift that they've given us, the gift of life, bringing us into this world. And I think it's always good to be grateful, whether or not you feel like you had a good mom. Whether or not your relationship with your mom is in a good place at this time. As people, as followers of God, the Bible says we rejoice always. We give thanks in every situation. We just become gracious people who have an attitude of gratitude. And so having the gift of life is something that's well worth being thankful for. And so I want to encourage all of us to take a moment and to say thank you. And I also want to encourage all of us as we get into the mission of God, as we join in with following Jesus, in helping others to be followers of Jesus, to recognize that there's sacrifice in that. And sometimes there's suffering in it, but to keep on it and to stay on track, to stay on assignment. But so blessed by Mary and how she followed God, played her role. Moms show up, they stay up, they never give up. So moms always do. I remember my mom had 6 kids and 5 of us boys, and my dad was working 7 days a week. And for years of our lives, he would be leaving for work before we woke up and come back from work after we were asleep. And I remember, you know, my mom was, you know, making breakfast and making lunch and making dinner and carting us all around. And, you know, when we started getting into sports and after school, she was just the bus rider trying to drive all the boys out to the different playing fields for all the different sports. You know, I remember her, we had this big old yellow van that had like an engine mount right between the two front seats. And she would have, come sit here and I'm gonna take a nap at the stoplight and you wake me up when the light turns green. That was my mom, you know, just always just needing sleep because she just didn't get much sleep. And I remember she said, you know, I'm a happy person and I'm really, you know, I'm always positive. But I can remember one time, just for a brief moment, I thought maybe it'd be easier to just leave this life. You know, I remember that all the kids were throwing up and pooping and all of you guys were all sick and I was sick and I was trying to take care of you all. And I just thought it might be easier, you know. It was just a fleeting thought. It didn't stay, you know. Said thank you, Mom, that she just stuck in there, you know, and kept after it. And that's the heart. And that's not just for moms. Well, we want to say thank you to you, moms, for having that heart and doing that. And encourage you, moms, who if you felt like giving up, and you felt like it's unfair, and say yeah, but we're grateful that you stay in that place. But also want to encourage all of us as we join with God in the mission of making disciples, that we honor him by having that heart, that same kind of a passion and a heart, that same kind of showing up and staying up and never giving up as we try to encourage people in their walk with God and encourage people to become more and more like Christ and to grow in their relationship with Jesus. So what set Mary apart? How did she become like this? What set Mary apart? We see that early in Mary's life when the angel first appeared to her. We see the characteristic, this thing that set her apart. The angel showed up to her and said, "Hey, you're gonna bear the Son of God," and Mary, of course, is shocked. They say, you're going to give birth to the Messiah and he's going to be God inside of you. And then Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I'm a virgin. So that seems pretty impossible. And she had pretty well-founded doubts, never been seen before in human history, a virgin having a baby. Medically, quite impossible. And so she has these doubts. But here's her response. Mary responded, "I'm the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. It's interesting that even through her doubts, what set Mary apart was that she trusted God. And it's interesting to compare, do a simple little comparison between Mary, who gave birth to Jesus, who showed us God's intention in how to live, and the first woman, Eve, who God created and placed there to also show us how to live. And so if we look we'll do a quick little comparison with Mary and Eve, and really for the sake not of putting Eve down, but for the sake of us learning, when am I more like Mary and how can I be less like Eve? All right? So Mary versus Eve. Well, both had doubts. Mary said, how can this happen? I have doubts that this can take place in my body. I'm a virgin. How can I have a baby? How can I bear the Messiah and the Son of God? And Eve had doubts. Did God really say? Will this really happen? But how they responded to those doubts is what set them apart. Three things, I'll give them to you. You can just remember them. Three things. Number one, ask yourself the question, who are you listening to in your life? Who is feeding into your soul? Who is determining what thoughts you think? Who's determining your worldview? How you see yourself? How you see the world around you? Who are you listening to? Eve was listening in the midst of her doubts. Eve was listening to the serpent. Eve was listening to the one who was questioning God and tearing down what God said and contradicting what God said. Mary listened to the messenger of God, to the angel, the one that was speaking on behalf of God. And we always have a choice. Who are we going to listen to? Are you going to listen to what God is saying and the people through whom God is speaking to you? Or are you going to listen to every other voice that speaks against God or causes questioning and doubts about God? The second thing is, how will you respond to the circumstances that come your way? Mary said, you know what? Whatever you say, that's what I'm going to do. Let it happen to me according to what you say. I'm choosing, before I even jump into this whole thing, I'm choosing to be in a place of obedience and submission to you. And that's a mindset that we have before we start to hear the options. We just say, okay, God, what you say is what I want to do in my life. Eve chose to disobey God and to obey the doubts and to run with those who contradicted God and to be obedient to that. So how will you respond? And then who will you trust? Who will you trust? Mary trusted. She didn't understand it. She didn't know how it was going to happen. But she said, okay, God, I trust you. You do in me what you say. I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't see how it can take place, but I'm trusting you. Eve trusted herself. She looked at the fruit and said, hell, it looks good. This looks really good, and what the snake said seems to make sense to me. I think I'm smarter than God, and I trust more what I see than what God said. God said, don't eat. She said, but it looks like it's going to be good. And it's so easy for us to trust our own knowledge and our own opinions. And this is the issue from the Garden of Eden. You trust your own knowledge of good and evil, or you trust what God is saying and how God is leading you. I will say this, like, I know that for instance, like with my mom, none of those six people would have come back if she just trusted what made sense. Like, no, yeah, those people, the doctors say they're dead. They look very dead. They just let them die. Just let them be dead. But she said, no, I'm going to ask God to do something that goes against what common sense might say. And so she saw miracles that go against what commonly happens. And we'll never experience miraculous life or the life that God intends for us if we don't learn to follow Him and His voice and His ways. But it does take a surrender in our lives. And that's where Mary had this humility that she gave to Christ. So today we want to just say Happy Mother's Day to the moms. And when we're so appreciative of the ways that you folks have poured into our lives, the ways that you sacrificed, the ways that you've prayed. I want to close with one last just story. And so, and in our small group Wednesday night, I was there, and Ash had this book, Confessions by St. Augustine. And Confessions is St. Augustine's autobiography that he wrote about the first half of his life. And through it, one of the prominent things there is the story of his mom and his mom's role in his life. For those of you who don't know St. Augustine, he was probably the premier theologian in the early years of the church. His book Confessions, The City of God, these books laid a lot of the foundation of the theology and what we believe today about Jesus. Augustine, his mom was a Christian, but his father was not. His father was mean, his father was controlling, his father was abusive, and he would not allow Augustine to be baptized or to follow in that way. And so, St. Monica. Anybody been to Santa Monica, California? It's a great city. It's a beautiful city. Named after St. Monica, Augustine's mom. And Augustine's mom, St. Monica, she's the patron saint of mothers, just because of her role in Augustine's life. And she started to pray. Her husband would not let her raise Augustine as a Christian, but she began to pray. And that's all she could do. And Augustine records how years and years of tears praying. Augustine chose to live a life of sin and drunkenness and sex, and he had mistresses living with him when he's a teenager, kids without a mom, and rejected his mother's ways. And then when he finally turned and got saved, he ended up in a cult that was not Christian, who was like a Christian cult that misapplied the scriptures. And then she actually ended up kicking him out of the house and just said, you got to really find God. And if you're not going to follow God, if you're in so much deception, but she still loved him and pursued him. And see, that's the loving discipline, is we bring discipline, but always with love. And so she loved him, pursued him. He finally came to God, came to his senses, and he was moving. He said, I'm gonna move to Rome. And so she said, well, you move to Rome, I wanna go with you and accompany you there so I can continue to help you find God. And Augustine didn't want that, so he snuck out, left without her. Told her, I'm going to go see my friend off down at the port. He's moving. And then got on the boat and left. You know, she figured it out and hopped on another boat and went after him. Go, mom. And in the meantime, Augustine had left Rome and moved to Milan. And so she figured that out and moved to Milan. But the priest in Milan struck up a relationship with him, led him to the Lord. He finally gave his life to the Lord. And finally, St. Monica saw the fruit of her prayers in her son, not only becoming a Christian, but so fully committed to Christ. And she told Augustine and said, you know, everything I've prayed for has been fulfilled. It's time. I finished my course. This is what my life was poured into you coming to Christ. And all those prayers have had not just an effect on his life, but have shaped the Christian world. Mother's prayers, a mother's sacrifice, a mother's suffering, and a mother's keeping with it, staying after it. So would you stand with me? As we close, just wanna again, just pray for the moms. But pray that for all of us that we would have that heart. See, the heart of a mother is really part of who God is. Moms are a reflection of the heart of God. And our prayer is that moms would be blessed on this day for the ways that they so beautifully reflect the heart of God in our lives. But we also want to pray that each and every one of us, as we follow Jesus, that part of the heart of Jesus would take hold in our hearts as well. So Father, we thank you, Lord, today on this day, we honor our moms. And we're so thankful, Lord God, for those of us who've had godly moms, for the ways that they've been a reflection of you, your love, your sacrifice, your suffering, your perseverance in our lives. And Father, I pray that you would bless each mom. You come alongside them, Lord God, and for all that they've poured out, that you would pour into them. And Lord, let them know how loved they are. And God, that sense of being pleasing to you because they've poured their lives into others. And God, I pray for all of us that whether it's through our moms or just through the word, through the lives of others, that we see the mother's heart that comes from you, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that would begin to infuse and affect our lives. That all of us, Lord God, being created in your image, we too would be a reflection of the mother heart of God to a world around us that is in so much need of seeing you as you truly are. through the lives that we live and the ways that we love and the ways that we sacrifice and give of ourselves. And so, Father, we pray that, Lord, we just speak a blessing over this congregation, that we might know your love and that we might express that love to others. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.